Hi Transformer family, hope you're all leveling up each and every day into the best and highest version of yourself. This lesson is all about recovering from toxic relationships and toxic trauma bonds. We cover relationships in every form, whether that be romantic, family, friendship, co-working or associate relationships. Hit subscribe, turn on the notification to never miss a session. Please like and share if this edifies you. Let's get into it. To begin with, a definition of what is meant by toxicity is necessary because this is a word that is often thrown around in today's quote unquote woke world that we live in. By definition, a toxic relationship is a relationship characterized by the behaviors of the toxic person that are emotionally and perhaps physically damaging to the other person in the relationship. While a healthy relationship contributes to our self-esteem and emotional energy, a toxic relationship damages self-esteem and drains our energy. So a healthy relationship involves mutual caring, respect and compassion. We are able to show an interest in the other person's welfare and growth. We have the ability to share the control and the decision making. So in short, it's a shared desire for each other's happiness. A healthy relationship is a safe relationship. A relationship where we can be ourselves without fear. A place where we feel comfortable and secure. In complete contrast, a toxic relationship, on the other hand, is not a safe place. A toxic relationship is characterized by insecurity, self-centeredness, dominance, and control. You risk your very being by staying in such a relationship. To say a toxic relationship is dysfunctional is at best a real understatement. Keep in mind that it takes two individuals to have a toxic relationship, meaning our own words and actions matter as well as the other person's. We'll look at the behaviours of the toxic person, but we must equally look hard at ourselves if we are the recipient of the toxic behaviour. And we must ask why. Why does an adult stay in a relationship that will almost inevitably damage him or her emotionally and or physically? And what, if anything, can we do in short of leaving that might help mend such a relationship? We'll examine both these questions later. First, however, let's examine toxic behaviours and relationships in more detail. Even a good relationship may have brief periods of behaviours we could label as toxic on the part of one or both partners. So human beings are, after all, we're not perfect. Few of us have had any formal education in how to relate to others. We often have to learn as we go along and hope that our basic style of relating to other people, which is often learned from our parents or our family or our friends, is at the very least somewhat effective. So as mentioned before, however, what defines a toxic relationship is dysfunction as being the normality, the status quo. The toxic person engages in inappropriate, controlling and manipulative behaviours on pretty much a daily basis. So let's explore specific examples of toxic behaviours in relationships. So firstly, there's the deprecator or the belittler. This type of toxic individual will constantly belittle you. He or she will make fun of you, essentially implying that pretty much anything you say that expresses your ideas, belief, or wants is silly or stupid. A toxic spouse, for example, will not hesitate to belittle you in public, in front of your friends or your family. Even though you may have asked your toxic partner to stop belittling you, he or she will continue this behavior, occasionally disguising it by saying, "I'm just kidding," or "can't you take a joke?" The problem is they're not kidding, and what they're doing is not a joke. The toxic partner wants all the decision-making power. Unfortunately, if you tolerate this deprecating behavior long enough, you very well may begin to believe you can't make good decisions. Moving on, the bad-tempered toxic partner. Often these individuals have an unpredictable and hair-triggering temper. Their partners often describe themselves as walking on eggshells around the toxic partner, never quite knowing what will send him or her into a rage. This constant need for vigilance and the inability to know what will trigger an angry outburst wears on both the victim's emotional and physical health. Again, it's noteworthy that this type of emotionally abusive partner or person rarely shows this side of his or herself to the outside world. No one else would label the relationship toxic, meaning he or she is frequently thought of as a pleasant, easygoing person who almost everyone likes. As you would expect, if you confront a bad-tempered partner or person you're in the relationship with about the inappropriateness of their anger, they will most always blame their temper and outbursts on you, essentially gaslighting you. Somehow it's your fault they yell and scream. This disowning of responsibility for their dysfunctional behaviour is typical of a toxic partner. Next, we have the guilt inducer. A toxic relationship can, of course, occur not only between two individuals in a committed relationship, but also between friends or parents and their children. Control in these relationships, as well as in a committed relationship, is exercised by inducing guilt in the victim. The guilt inducer controls by encouraging you to feel guilty anytime you do something that he or she doesn't like. Not infrequently, they will get someone else to convey their sense of disappointment or hurt to you. For example, your father calls you up to tell you how disappointed your mother was that you didn't come over for Sunday dinner. A guilt inducer not only controls by inducing guilt, but also by temporarily removing guilt if you end up doing what he or she wants you to do. For guilt-prone individuals, anything or anyone that removes guilt is very desirable and potentially almost addictive. So the guilt inducer has an extremely powerful means of control at their disposal. Then there's the overactor or the deflector. If you've ever tried to tell a significant other or a friend that you're unhappy, hurt, or angry about something they did, and somehow find yourself taking care of their unhappiness, hurt, or anger, you're dealing with an overreactor or a deflector. You find yourself comforting them instead of getting comfort yourself. And even worse, you feel bad about yourself for being so selfish that you brought up something that upset the other person so much. Needless to say, your initial concern, your initial hurt or irritation gets lost as you remorsefully take care of the other person's feelings. A variation on this theme is the deflector. So in this case, you try to express your anger or irritation regarding some issue or event, and somehow your partner or your friend finds a way to make this your fault. The deflector is confused that the information you're bringing to his or her attention is in direct conflict with their self-perception. This so becomes uncomfortable to them that they inadvertently convince you that you're the one with work to do. Perhaps you're being too sensitive, or perhaps instead of an apology, you're offered a calculated question such as, "But do you love me?" Suddenly, the criticism is replaced with praise. Perhaps you've come across or you're dealing with the over-dependent partner. So odd as it may seem, one method of toxic control is for your partner to be so passive that you have to make most of the decisions for them. These toxic controllers want you to make virtually every decision for them, from where you go to dinner, what car to buy, how they dress. Remember, not deciding is a decision, and that has the advantage of making someone else, namely you, responsible for the outcome of that decision. And of course, you'll know when you've made the wrong decision by your partner's passive aggressive behavior, such as pouting or not talking to you because you chose a movie or restaurant they didn't enjoy. Or you choose to go to spend the weekend with your parents and your partner goes along but doesn't speak to anyone for 2 days. Passivity can be an extremely powerful means of control. If you're involved in a relationship with a passive controller, you'll likely experience constant anxiety and fatigue as you worry about the effect your decisions on your partner and are drained by having to make virtually every single decision. Separate from your own anxiety and fatigue, it's important to consider the root of your partner's control here. This type of toxic marriage or relationship, by definition, may hinge on control induced by anxiety. Then you have the independent, non-dependable, toxic controller. So these individuals frequently disguise his or her toxic controlling behavior as simply asserting his or her independence. "I'm not going to let anyone control me" is often their motto. This toxic individual will only rarely keep their commitments. Actually, what they are up to is controlling you by keeping you uncertain about what they're going to do. Non-dependables will say things like, "I'll call you," "I'll take the kids to a movie on Saturday," "They'll do this," etc., 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 but then they don't. Something always comes up. They usually have a plausible excuse, but they simply don't keep their commitments. In this relationship, toxic means they control you by making it next to impossible for you to make commitments or plans. What's even more distressing is that this type of toxic individual does not make you feel safe and secure in your relationship. It's not just their behavior that's unpredictable. You're never quite sure that they are really emotionally committed to you, that you and your relationship with them are a priority in their life. You'll often find yourself asking for reassurance from them, reassurance that they love you, they find you attractive, reassurance that they're committed to you, etc. Their response is often just vague enough to keep you constantly guessing and is designed to keep you doing what they want to earn their commitment. The anxiety you feel in such a relationship can and often does eat away at your emotional and physical health. Then there's the user. Users, especially at the beginning of a relationship, often seem very nice, courteous, and pleasant individuals. And they are, as long as they're getting everything they want from you. What defines a toxic relationship with a user is its one-way nature and the fact that you will end up never having done enough for them. Users are big-time energy drainers who will in fact leave you if they find someone else who will do more for them. Actually, a really adept user will occasionally do something nice for you, usually something that doesn't inconvenience or cost them too much. But be warned, they have not given you a gift, they have given you an obligation. If you ever complain about doing something for them or not doing things their way, they'll immediately hold whatever they've done for you over your head and work hard to induce guilt. Staying in such a relationship with a user is like paying £1,000 or $1,000 for a bar of chocolate. You really aren't getting much for your investment. And lastly, there's the possessive, paranoid, toxic controller. This type of toxic individual is really, really bad news. Early in your relationship with them, you may actually appreciate their jealousy, particularly if it isn't too controlling. And most, but certainly not all, possessives will imply that once the two of you are married or in a relationship, they'll be just fine. Don't believe it for a moment. These toxic individuals will become more and more suspicious and controlling as time goes on. They'll check the meter in your car to make sure you haven't gone somewhere you shouldn't have. They'll interrogate you if you stay out too late. They'll check your phone. In short, they'll make your life a misery. They may even use technology to their advantage, using smart devices to check on your physical location or doorbell cameras to eavesdrop or verify you actually arrived home when you said you did. Over time, they will work hard to eliminate any meaningful relationships you have with friends and sometimes even family. They do not see themselves in a relationship with you, they see themselves as possessing you. Your efforts to reassure a toxic possessive about your fidelity and commitment to them will be in vain. If you stay in a relationship with such an individual, you will cease to really have a life of your own. So why do people stay in these types of relationships? Well, one explanation is trauma bonds. Trauma bonds occur in very toxic relationships and tend to be strengthened by inconsistent positive reinforcement, or at least the hope that something better will come in the relationship eventually. Trauma bonds occur in extreme situations such as abusive relationships, hostage situations, and incestuous relationships. But also, trauma bonds can develop in any ongoing attached relationship in which there is a great deal of pain interspersed with times of calm, or maybe just less pain. It can be likened to a heroin addiction. The relationship promises much, gives fleeting feelings of utopia, but then it sucks the very life and soul out of you. So what can you do in these types of relationships? The very easy and obvious answer is to leave, but that's not always an option for some people. And some people have been broken down so much emotionally and mentally and physically that they don't feel they have the strength to leave. So the bad news is that you cannot change the other person in the relationship, but the good news is that you can change yourself, which may lead to the other person eventually acting differently or behaving differently towards you. It may even mean that they have to reintroduce themselves to you, i.e. change the way they relate to you. So here are a few things you can do to build yourself up to eventually get to a point where you feel strong enough to leave. Or if you're in a position, for example, if you're still a minor and you're in a toxic relationship with a family member and you can't leave because of money or what have you, then here are some things you can do to sort of protect yourself and keep yourself strong until you get to a point where you can leave. So you maybe listen to this and you're in an abusive relationship yourself, or you know someone else who is, and you've witnessed the types of connections that we've described. Maybe you are incapable to leave yourself, or you know someone that is in a toxic relationship and they can't leave. If that's the case, please like and share this video. We'd like it to spread around to as many people and help as many people as possible. And there is hope. So here are some things you can do to break free from these types of strongholds. Okay, so make a commitment to live in reality. If you find yourself wanting to fantasize about what could be or what you hope will be, stop. Remind yourself that you have made a commitment to live in truth. Even if you don't choose to leave the relationship immediately, in the meantime, you can at least remind yourself that you will stop fantasizing about what is not happening. Live in real time. That means stop holding on to what could or will happen tomorrow. Notice what is happening in the moment. Notice how trapped you feel. Notice how unloved you feel, and how you have compromised your self-respect and self-worth for this relationship. Pay attention to your emotions. Stop hoping and waiting and start noticing in real time what is happening and how it is affecting you. Living in your reality will mean that eventually you will get to a place where you say no more. You will get to a place where you have had enough, and that will be your strength and ammunition to make a plan and get out of where you're currently at. Another thing that you can do is live one decision at a time and one day at a time. Sometimes people scare themselves with an all or nothing type of thinking. Don't tell yourself things like, I have to never talk to the toxic person again or else. This is similar to trying to lose weight by telling yourself you can never eat chocolate again. While it is true that the relationship you're in is an unhealthy one, you don't need to make every decision you make or every encounter a do or die situation. Don't scare yourself. Be gentle with yourself. Make decisions that only support your self-care. That is, do not make any decisions that hurt you. This goes for emotional relapses as well. So if you find yourself feeling weak, don't mentally berate yourself, but rather talk to yourself with compassion, understanding, and in reflective ways. Remind yourself that you are a work in progress and this is a life journey. Do not make the uncaring decision to mentally beat yourself up. In every encounter you have with the object of your obsession, stop and think about each choice you make. Make choices that are only in your best interest. We'll leave a link below in the description box on how you can make a self-care vision board and a plan of what self-care looks like for you. Start to actually feel your emotions. Whenever you are away from the toxic person in your life and feel tempted to reach out to them for reassurance, stop. Instead, consider writing down your feelings. Write whatever comes to you. For example, you can start with, I feel blank. I missed so and so. I wish I could be with so and so right now. But I am going to sit and write my feelings down instead. I am going to teach myself how to feel my way through the obsession rather than turning to blank. This may help you to build inner strength. Learn to simply be with your emotions. You don't need to run from them, hide from them, avoid them, or make them go away. Once you fully feel them, they may begin to subside. Remember, the only way out is through. Another thing you can do in the process of recovering from a toxic relationship or a trauma bond is learning to grieve. Letting go of a toxic relationship and breaking a traumatic bond may be one of the hardest things you ever have to do. You cannot do it without honoring the reality you are losing something very valuable to you. Also, during the process of grieving, really try to understand the hook. Identify what exactly you're losing. It may have just been a fantasy, a dream, or an illusion. Perhaps your partner had made you think or had convinced you into believing they were going to fulfill some deep unmet need. Once you can identify what this need or this hook is, you can get down to the business of grieving. Grieving means figuratively holding your hands open and letting it go. You say goodbye to the notion that the need you have may never be met. At minimum, it will not be met by this relationship. On this channel, we love to give you sort of practical things that you can take away and do to up-level your life. So in this process of getting over your toxic relationships, one of the things we suggest doing is writing a list of bottom line behaviors for yourself. This list might include things like, number one, I will not sleep with someone who calls me names. Number two, I will not argue with someone who has been drinking. Number three, I will take care of my own finances. Number four, I will not have conversations with anyone when I feel desperate or defensive or obsessive or etc. etc. Whatever your area of concern, determine what you need to do to change and make those bottom line behaviors. In the description box, we'll also leave a link for a journal that you can use to write down all of these things as part of your recovery process. The next thing to do is to build your life little by little, step by step. Start dreaming about your future for yourself and your children if you have them. In other words, make dreams that don't involve your traumatic partner or the traumatic relationship that you've just come out of. Maybe you want to go back to school, start a hobby, go to church, or join a club. Start making life-affirming choices for yourself that take you away from toxic interactions that have been destroying your peace of mind. Also, the next thing to really do is to build healthy connections. The only way to really free yourself from unhealthy connections is to start investing in healthy ones. Develop other close, connected, or bonded relationships that are not centered on drama. Make these your go-to people. It is extremely difficult to heal without support. Notice the people in your life who show you loving concern and care, and hang around with them as often as you can. Be around your cheerleaders. Also, please reach out for professional help. More often than not, especially in toxic romantic relationships, we often end up in these types of relationships because of traumatic experiences from our childhood or throughout life. It is said that we attract who we are. So if we're not whole people, we attract partners that are also not whole, partners that are also broken, or who seek to take advantage of our brokenness. So it really is about trying to heal and trying to become whole, and therapy and counseling and really putting in the self-work can help you to overcome those experiences and really just level up. We hope this video has been of help for you, Transformers. Please jump into the comments, let us know what you think, let us know if this has been helpful, and until next time, take care of you.